You're listening to Radio Influence.
This is Landry Football on Radio Influence, the only podcast where you can get perspective of what happened on the gridiron through the eyes of a coach, scout, and front office administrator. Now, it's time to step into the film room. Here's Chris Landry.
And away we go for the Tuesday, March 27th edition of the Landry Football Podcast. As we continue to march towards, a month away from the NFL draft, a lot of stuff to get to. Want to talk a little bit about the owners' meetings that are taking place today. Want to get into some of the issues revolving, briefly talk about some summation of the catch rule and some things that are being discussed there. Odell Beckham Jr., want to get into that. Talk a little bit about some draft stock of some players that I think were really intriguing to me. And then kind of take you, kind of the theme of the day is kind of what's going on right now in NFL organizations. I want to say in draft rooms, the meetings are about a week or two away from getting started. But what's going on around the league and how this process works to give you a feel for it. You hear so much information about this or that, and guys are moving up and down the board and this kind of nonsense. We're going to tell you truly what's going on. And then we're going to give you some, as we've had a couple of trades, some facts and fictions about trade charts, and everyone has them on the internet now, and they're really inaccurate and very misleading, and they're being repeated over and over by people in the media about, well, this is value, and they got good value, and this one didn't. We're going to get into explaining how draft charts are made. I made our draft charts in my time working with the Browns for Bill Belichick and the Oilers / Titans. So I will get into that. Want to get into, to start though, want to tell you a little bit about, if you have not yet become a member of LandryFootball.com, the great website that we have that provides you information in and out on the college football game, the NFL game, the draft, recruiting, every day, all year round. That's what we do at LandryFootball.com. Check us out. Follow me on Twitter at LandryFootball. We've got a special discount going on. If you sign right now, it will take you, give you basically the biggest discount we've had. It's like essentially we'll give you the free agency and draft work throughout this process through the month of April, and you'll basically have the football season the next 6 months for free. So what a great opportunity to take advantage of. It'll get you an entire year for the low, low price of $39.99, the best that we've ever had. So it is a great bargain for you. It's something that's not going to last very long. We can't afford to do it very long, but we wanted to do something for you to get interested and get access to LandryFootball.com and go from there. So please check that out. As the meeting, the owners' meetings are taking place today, I've always felt like going to the owners' meetings are a little bit of a, and I used to spend, when I had to go there, I used to spend just a day, day and a half just to get through the basic stuff that needed to get done, and then get the heck out of there. I always felt like, it's just a bad time to have, listen, I understand that the owner's in a position where they're not preparing for the draft. Their lieutenants are. But it is something that you need to take part of from a football person's perspective. But it was always infringing in something that was a lot more important. That was draft preparation. So, one of the things that I think that are important as it relates to the catch rule, relates to things related to football. You know, I've always felt like the litmus test was, does it make sense? And what is the clear way to go about determining the process of a catch? It's not real difficult. We make it complex, and we try to make it almost like to justify certain people in their roles about how we're going to call this, what we're going to do, what does this mean? Folks, if you've got complete control of the catch, which basically the ball is not bobbling, you got possession of it, and you make a move, you come down with the ball, you turn, you reach, whatever. You have time to do it. Very simple. It's a catch, and everything after is a fumble. It is very simple. We've allowed it to get to the point where it's more complex than it should be. And I think now they've learned that, and they're going backwards to the more sensible form, which is, if it looks like a catch, if you got possession of a catch, then it should be a catch. So I've been asked a lot about it, so I just wanted to address it. Not very long, not very detailed, but that to me is the simple way to go about dealing with an issue like this. One of the news conversations that have come out are the owners' meetings, and this is, quite frankly, you have media that attends it, and they will have some media ops with owners, which they do not normally get access to, and sometimes they will say things that are a little bit eye-raising. And that was the case with John Mara when asked about Odell Beckham and his contract and their commitment to it long-term, the viability of him getting traded, so on and so forth. Well, he made the comment, which on the cuff is very, very innocuous, that when you have the type of record that we have, no one is safe. No one is off the trading block, whatever it takes to get better, something to that effect. And certainly Odell Beckham's stance is, I'm not stepping on the field again until I get a new contract. Well, we know that that's not going to be the case, because when the checks start to come in, he'll be there. But he won't be there for the offseason, and he has the right for that. That's, again, more of an indication of his stance. I get it. Players want to get as much out of their contract as they can, and they have a right to do that. What I have said all along as it relates to Odell Beckham, you have to separate things. Let's talk as a football player. He is an elite player in this league. He absolutely grades out very highly. When he's been healthy, he's been outstanding. He's been a difference maker. There's no doubt about that. He changes the game for the Giants. He's a big-time catching talent, and he's got very underrated ability to get deep and to make plays after the catch. So anybody that will say, well, he's overrated, he's this or that, well, look, he's a great player. Here's what I know. He's a great player. He's a great talent. Now, does he always play that way? There have been times due to injuries that you absolutely cannot put him in that category of, hey, boy, he's playing great this year. There are certainly signs of that, indications of that, fair to say. But the reality is, he's a game-changing talent. Now, what he has become, he's become a major distraction. There's no doubt about that. The on-the-field distractions, the knucklehead moves, the mistakes that have cost this team in terms of penalties, attitude, I think has had some subversive from within qualities within that locker room that has hurt the team. And if you're getting ready to make a decision, when you make a decision, pardon me, on giving a long-term deal, a very healthy financial deal to a player that's going to be a team leader, you want to be sure that he is just that, a team leader. Holding out is one issue, but how you conduct yourself, how you act, needs to be exemplary, and it's been far from it from the Giants. So do I think the Giants are willing to trade him? I do. It has to be the right price. I think they would prefer to keep Odell Beckham, and they prefer for him to act in a way accordingly, what they expect. But when they give him that deal, and he begins to step out of line, then you really have lost your leverage at that point. So I do think that it is something that is a bit of a dilemma. There's going to be interest in Odell Beckham around the league, but are they going to be, teams are going to be willing to give up what they're going to need to give up in terms of trade compensation and then pay him that type of money, wondering if that's going to have an effect in their locker room. Now, you've got a team in Los Angeles with the Rams that really, they seem to be, they don't care about locker room. They can deal with all that. Hey, well, Marcus Peters, that's fine. Dominican Sue, that's fine. Odell Beckham, that's fine. We'll see how that plays out. That looks good on paper. We'll see how they're able to manage at least two of those pieces. I don't think Odell Beckham's going to be the next guy. But if it were, folks, the impact on the locker room is significant. You have to have talent, but you have to have locker room chemistry. You have to be, it's a team game, the ultimate team game. You know, there are circumstances in other sports where there's more individualism that contributes to team success than in football. Even the most important position at quarterback, if you are not a great leader, it is, there's so many moving parts. You're going to have a hard time winning if you don't have the right people in place. So as you make these type of decisions, you have to do it with a locker room impact in mind. You have to make sure that players are paid accordingly within the hierarchical structure to make sure that things do make fiscal sense, not just under the cap, but in terms of the best players get compensated accordingly. Doesn't matter how much cap room you got, if you start paying average players better than the good players better than the great players, and so on and so forth, you have issues. We've talked about that here before. Locker room impact has a great deal of an effect. Now, when you start to talk about it, when it starts to come out publicly, well, then it starts to create a little bit of a concern, and other teams are always willing to, hey, you know what? Grass is always greener here. We'll go get our guy and we can make it work here. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out because ownership has come out and said one thing. The co-owner, Steve Tisch, has come out and said, we want to keep him. So it's a little bit good cop, bad cop. We'll play that. We want him. Well, this is what we want from him. And, we'll see how this plays out because I think that it has been stirred up enough where it warrants some following. I want to talk a little bit about what's going on now in terms of in NFL organizations. Yes, there's the owners' meetings. You've got some responsibility there. You got owner, you got the head coach, you got the GM, but the scouting staff is back continuing to do their work. We've talked about the fact that pro days are continuing. To give you an idea of how things are working, we're about a couple of weeks away, depending on the organization and how long they meet, we're a couple of weeks away from the final scouting meet. But at this point, you're preparing for the scouting meet. So right now, as you've got everybody situated, at this point, the pro days are kind of dwindling down. Most of them have taken place. There's still some out there. So what you do with your scouting, college scouting director is responsible for making sure that every pro day is covered, the area scout, and if a position coach needs to be there, if another member of your scouting staff needs to be there, so be it. Coordinator needs to be there. More, you know, several people, you get them all there. You're in a fact-finding mission, fact-finding mode. So you're making sure everything is covered. So everybody's spread out, gathering information, then you bring it back in. In-house, you have in-house scouts that have been working on for some time, but they continue to work on profile tapes, point of attack tapes. What are those? You pretty much in your initial scouting meetings, and this is the real fallacy. Well, the draft boards are set. Draft boards are not set. Not even close. That comes together quickly when everybody who's seen every player is in a meeting and all the work is done. That's when the boards are set. But you have, in your early meetings, an indication of who are draftable. And here's how I always did it. Anybody that was on our draftable board and anybody that was a priority free agent signing, meaning we would sign them if they weren't drafted or we'd consider drafting. Every player, we'd have a profile tape. What is that? Well, as you break down all of a player's game tape, combine tape, all-star game tape, if they played in an all-star game, they went to the combine. You make what we call a profile tape, which is basically a resume tape. You take, not highlights, profile tape. Good plays, bad plays, plays that in 50 to 70 plays give you a strong indication of what a player is, giving them a good feel for what a guy is, what a guy isn't. It's a good resource. You look at tape, you study tape, you know, you've looked at good games, bad games. At this point, you know when the guy might have been hurt, maybe when a guy might have been misused, might have been put into a situation in a game plan where it didn't really expose what he could do or what he might struggle with. You put all of that into play and you make a tape of the guy. Literally, with today's editing process, is a click of a button where you sit there and you see a guy. You see his movement skills. You see his play. See how he responded. I always worked it earlier games to later games, just like the season. So that you can see a guy progress through the year. Now, unlike resume tapes that are probably done by people in the broadcasting business, they only listen or watch the first 30, 40 seconds. We watch every bit of it. So when you put this together and you're done, you put the tape on and you get a good visual of a feel for what a guy is, positive, negatively. And you got to know how to make the tape. I think you got to be well trained to do it. You can't stack it with good plays or stack it with negative plays to fit your agenda. You've got to really be real open to that. And I think once you do that, I think it's important. That's why I train younger guys how to do this so that they could put the tape on and they weren't trying to justify their grade because they were not responsible for grading them. So once those are done, and I did it for every player, that's really important. It gives you another resource, a quick resource. It's kind of like Cliff Notes version of reading a book. You go in and you kind of get a refresher. Why is that important? When you get together in a week or two for your meetings, here's how the process works. And we'll get into that a little bit closer to that time. But you take a position a day. Sometimes it takes a day and a half, 2 days to get through a position, usually a day and a half at most. But you take every position and you alphabetically, every player that you've graded, you go through. Now, if a player's on the reject list, you go through player with, you know, first player up, he's a reject. We wouldn't draft him. We wouldn't sign him. Here's why. Boom, boom, boom. Within 15, 20 seconds, you move on to the second guy. Anybody that's given a grade of a free agent signing or higher, you go through in really good detail. Every person who's scouted him writes a report on him, reads their report on him. There's question and answers. Then after that's done, you put the tape on. It's a review. It's that 50 to 70 plays, right, where you can look at and you can say, here's what we're seeing. What do we like here? You know, why did you think this? What do you, and you go through that. You get a good feel for it. All right, after you get done, you got a discrepancy. Somebody's got them in a 5.5 grade. Somebody's got them in a 5.0. you kind of work through that. Well, you know, I think you have to look at it, put all things in, and you have to decide you're going to put them in a certain category grade-wise. And you go to the next guy, and the next, and the next. When you are done, you will spend as much as 3 hours going through that position. Top guy, do we have him rated high enough? Do we have him rated too high? Do we have him rated too low? Everybody's in agreement. No, I think he's a little high. Boom. All right, we make little notes on that. Okay, go to the next guy, and you start to stack them. You got them in the right order. And now you got them in the right order. Well, wait a minute. We got these guys graded incorrectly. Remember, area scouts will have, they're only grading guys in their area. So some guys a little higher grader, some guys a lower grader. So you're looking for cross-check guys that go over the top, that look at the top guys. You have college personnel director, general manager, if he's a football guy, a coordinator, a position coach that's looking at all the guys at his position, you start to really separate. Now you start to get them in the right order. Now you start to make sure that one of two things, they're in the right order and that they're in the right grade overall. Because if you don't, and you have a position coach that's a higher grader or a lower grader, your horizontal board's going to be out of whack. Best players overall. So it's really important that you go through it thoroughly, consistently, get them in the right order, and get them with the right grade. And until you're done, you know, and you want to leave plenty of time to do this. You get that done, you put the position in the bet, then you go to the next position, and you repeat the same thing. Now, that's when the meetings start. But in order to do that, you got to do a really good job of getting all the information in-house up to date. So that means in addition to making the tapes on every player, your training staff is getting all the medical information updated. They go through and get all the medical grades, and we have that. Your security department gets all the background information on all the players. Have that updated. So that as you go through this process, you're factoring that in. You've got a guy graded at a certain spot. That's fine. You grade him where he's graded. Then you attach the medical grade. Then you attach the character grade. And then where he is where he is, and then you pass over him if you've got some medical or character concerns. But that's a painstaking process. But it is an arduous process to get to that point. The football season is about evaluating players, right? The post-football season is about doing more evaluating, getting to look at all the film from the fall, because now the football season is over and the games have stopped, so you got time to go back and look at all the tape. Then you combine the All-Star games. Then you combine the combine. Then you're getting all the intangible information as well as the tangible information and putting it together with the film. Now you're getting the coaches, the general manager, everybody in the organization involved in looking at all the players, not just the area scouts. Now everybody becomes involved. So now you got more grades on a player, more eyes on a player, more evaluations on a player. It'll determine. Area scout may love the guy. Other people may say, yeah, you know, I like him, but the guy over here in this other area is better. And you start to work through all of that. One of the things I tried to do is with the area scouts, I had them cross-check guys by position at the All-Star games. So if they go to an All-Star game, you might be the Southeast scout. You might be responsible for evaluating the running backs and linebackers. Why? I want to see the running backs go up against the linebackers in practice. You're going to evaluate both positions. You're going to evaluate regardless of where they're from. And oh, by the way, before we go to those bowl games, you need to look at film of them, so that you can start look at him. And that guy will say, well, wait a minute, you know what? I got my guy in my area with a 5.5 grade. But I studied this guy in the Senior Bowl, and I looked at I looked at the film before going to practice, and I looked at practice tape. He's better than my guy And so, in other words, it's important to understand you've got different levels of graders. People are a little bit high graders, low graders. So you start to get a real good feel for how guys could be set up on your board. So you go through that whole process, and then obviously you're getting into, after the combine, the pro days, which is where we are now. Then we get ready to go back, and then everybody's hunkered down in your meetings with all the data, all the information, all the film that has been consumed, evaluated, and we start to set up the board. So the whole thing, well, they're moving up and down the board, maybe in the opinion of the one player that's telling the quote-unquote media guy. And always remember this. Why do people talk to the media? They want to come across as more important than they really are. Remember this if you remember nothing else. Those who know don't talk. Those who talk don't know. Make sure you understand that when you kind of absorb information about who's doing what, who's moving up or down. We'll give you this straight story on what's going on with teams and how the process is disseminated within each organization. So, as we get to that draft meeting time, we'll get into a little bit more about some of what we just talked about today, but within more in-depth. Want to talk a little bit about a couple of guys that I think are really intriguing to me that have some interesting value. Harold Landry, the edge rusher from Boston College, he may, due to his lack of production and injury, someone's going to get a little bit of a steal for this guy because I think he may slip in some people's eyes. But I think the guy plays bigger and stronger than his size. I think he holds the point down very well. Love his instincts. Love his patience. Doesn't over-pursue. Rarely out of position. I think he could be a 3-4 outside backer. He can play from a three-point stance and nickel. Top-notch competitor. Love his athleticism. Love his ability to play in pursuit. Closing a quarterback, really good bend, really good flexibility. I think he's a very underrated player. I've mentioned Leighton Vander Esch of Boise State a few times in passing. He's a long, instinctive, yet athletic linebacker. Love his run instincts, love his run fits, attacks aggressively. He can skate and step over trash and keep his eyes up nicely. He can release from blockers effectively. I like his range. I like his ability to break down and tackle in the open field. He shows speed and quickness to mirror and coverage, even shows some clothes as a blitzer. His instincts and toughness are a must for me with linebackers, and he's got them both. I think he can be a Mike or a Will on a 4-3 or a 3-4 inside backer. Really good player. Josh Jackson of Iowa, the corner, is a versatile cover guy. Think he's undervalued. He's got a lot of experience playing a lot of coverages, like his movement skills, his turn out of press, excels in zone coverage. He's quick seeing routes. He has really good ball skills, gets low on his pedal, can play up or off and good in run support. He'll need to get stronger, and I worry about his deep speed, but I see him as an early starter. Taven Bryan, good interior defensive lineman from Florida, ideally a 3 technique in a 4-man front, but also can play effectively in a 30 front. Athletic pass rusher, good first step quickness. He can convert speed to power, good size, good change of direction, strong interior rusher, excellent pursuit player, needs to get stronger, lacks the strength at this point to hold up as a 5 technique, but really can shoot his hands quickly, react, find the ball. See him as an undervalued player that's going to make an early impact. Another guy that I wanted to mention, too, is Isaiah Wynn. I think he's one of the more underrated players in this draft as well. Played left tackle in college, but projects to be an outstanding guard. Like the way he rolls his hips, can drive defenders in the run game, shows good athletic ability when pulling, can cover up linebackers and adjust onto the second level, plays with heavy hands. Utilize inside positioning and pass pro, natural knee bender, allows them to stay balanced, power, and speed. Shows good stunt awareness, overall front awareness, which stands out to me as his ability to finish. Not real tall, but flexible. Power, quickness to protect the edge versus speed. See him as an early starter in the league at guard and can play tackle for you and not hurt you doing it. Some guys that I wanted to mention that I think are undervalued players. There's plenty of others. We'll get to them. But those are some that jump out at me as we're putting together the draft board and putting the scouting notes on them for you to give you a feel for who the players are. We've remind you that you want to get the updated information. You click on draft and you get the draft boards. You get scouting notes on them. We'll take you through the whole process, give you some summations. On scouting reports, there's much, much, much more detail, probably more than you'd be interested in, but complete background, complete medical, complete critical factors by each critical factor broken down in as much as 20 different areas for each position, each player at each position, and you break down the qualities that cause you to put your grade in your notes within that category on him. And then you come into a overall strengths of the player, then overall weaknesses of a player. Then you give a summation of a player. And all those things kind of come to that summation, which is kind of what you want to know, whether the guy can play, can help your team and out or not. And that's what we try to do for you. Okay, that I'm going to save running a little short on time, so I want to move on. And we're going to get to the trade charts, something that I think the fact or fiction on trade charts on Thursday, along with some other new information. I want to remind you, you can get updated information on the draft, NFL news and notes, college football news and notes, recruiting, all in our daily notebook. So be sure you check them out at LandryFootball.com. All day, every day, we got it for you covered. Appreciate you joining us and remind you to spread the word about LandryFootball.com, our special discount going on right now. And if we can help you spread the word about your business, please contact us. We will be glad to do so here at Landry Football Podcast. So until next time, keep it here at LandryFootball.com for all the latest information. And if you got any questions, anything you want us to address, send it to us, and we will absolutely get it covered for you here. Appreciate it. Talk to you Thursday in another edition of the Landry Football Podcast on LandryFootball.com.
To get more of Chris's knowledge, visit and subscribe to LandryFootball.com. You can also find him on Twitter at LandryFootball. This has been Landry Football on Radio Influence.
I'm Jerry Petuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out radioinfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, radioinfluence.com.